Does your computer repair business website need work? Go to TechSiteBuilder.com and get the official PodNuts method for making a site that works. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 251. I'm Steve Cherubino, your host, and this show is about computer repair. Each day, we do the show. We bring on a guest who is a computer repair technician or a computer repair enthusiast or somebody who's good with computers, and they talk about their experiences they're having with computers. They give you tips. They give you tricks. They tell you what's going on in their business, and it turns out to be very helpful. So on the show today, we have Tim Kelly from timscomputerfix.com. And the name of his business is Tim's Computer Repair. Timster, how are you doing today?
Hello, Steve. Doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. Doing really good, actually.
Excellent. Excellent. You getting packed up?
No, not yet. I want to so bad, but I don't. If anybody doesn't know, I'm moving soon, but I don't want to move. I don't want to think about it or do anything until I actually like have it all set up. Otherwise, it just... I'm prolonging it. It's going to make me want to move faster if I start doing stuff proactively here. So we're going to wait a little while.
Yeah, I can understand that.
How's business over there with you?
Business is a little slower than usual, I think, here. I don't know about anybody else. This time of year seems to slow down a little bit in my area. People are on vacation. Calls, you know, kind of slow down a little bit. It's the past month or so, but just now things are starting to kind of pick back up.
Because of the summer?
Yeah, I think it's the summer. I think school's out. People are on vacation.
And tell us where you are again.
I'm in southeast Georgia, Savannah, Georgia.
Gotcha. Okay, so tell us what is going on, Timster. I hear you had some interesting stuff happening lately. You don't have to start with that.
We could start. Not going to start with that.
Okay. All right, well,
I'll kind of lead up to that. That's
exactly.
To all the young and up and coming technicians out there who want to start their own business, checking out your local competition is really important. And also, I would think go around and introducing yourself to your local competitors professionally is important and would be to your advantage. What you don't want to do, and what I see a lot of young techs doing, especially ones that are just starting off, is they want to give their services, you know, really cheap. They want to really undercut the competition so much they get, you know, more business is the idea, you know. But I really think, you know, sometimes it's okay, I think, but in the long run, business-wise, it'll hurt you. What you want to do, now, I'm not talking about, like, the Geek Squad. I mean, you know, I could care. Those guys just overcharge. They're completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, undercut them all you want. I don't care. I'm talking about your other small computer repair shops in your area.
Okay.
Not the big businesses.
Right.
You want to call them, and the way I did it, I called and played like I was a customer. And I asked them a couple of questions, went down the list, their phone book or wherever. You can find them on Google or wherever, get their number, call them and act like you're a customer and just find out their prices for like virus removal or laptop repair or memory upgrades or operating system reinstalls or power jack repairs. You know, go down a list of about the five top companies in your area, small companies, and kind of base your prices off of that. Maybe go 10 or 15% lower than them.
Okay.
And if you severely undercut them and you're going half price of what they charge, or even a quarter of what they charge, what that's going to do is drive down the market in your area.
Hmm.
And, you know, granted, you know, those guys may be charging, you know, more than what you think is fair. But you want to be fair to yourself also. If those guys are getting, say, $110 for virus removals, you know, you don't want to go $50 for a virus removal. Those guys have been getting $110, you know, for a while now, and they're kind of established.
You would think, though. You don't know. Maybe that's so high that they're doing something else or not going, you know, buying something online or something.
Right. Now, granted, Steve, I am talking, you know, not the big businesses.
Yeah.
But
I know what you're saying. And I guess there's no other way to get a good idea of what's the going rate in your area other than calling guys.
Well, what do you charge? I mean, I'm sure you know what, like, Geek Squad charges, but, you know, you can undercut them. But
right.
I think it's a good idea to get a feel of what all your competition is charging.
Right.
So you can charge a fair market value. See, with you, in a business sense, if you severely undercut all your competition, I mean, like, dirt cheap undercut them.
Right.
What that's going to do is force the whole market share in your area to drop. And, you know, and everybody will have to lower their prices. Instead of, instead of charging 110, charge 95. Instead of charging 50. Right. Because what will happen is if you go down to 50, all your competition, if you start getting that big business, all your competition are going to have to drop their prices way down. And then the fair market value goes way down, and you're kind of hurting yourself in that, man.
That's a really good point. That's a really
good point. At least that's the way I view it. And the prices do vary so much in different areas. It's, so check your local computer repair shops. Check their prices. And I would even go as far as, well, at least in some cases, walking in the shop, introducing yourself, telling them who you are and what you do, and, and make an offer to let them know that you're not there to hurt them, you know. And if he gets swamped or needs something or has a question, tell him to feel free to call you, and vice versa. You know, just try to make rub elbows with your competition. In the long run, I think it'll benefit you.
I guess so. You know, it's an interesting concept. It's not the natural thing to do. You know, it's not like the natural inclination.
No.
Most people just ignore each other. And if one person talks about another one, I guess that they just don't say too much about each other. But if you're going around introducing yourself, especially if you could present skills that would help that company, like if you do laptop repairs and they have a tough time with, or they outsource it somewhere, or they have to ship out laptops, maybe it'd be better for them to give it to you if you could pick them up or something like that. So, yeah, I could see how it makes sense.
That's exactly what I was talking about. One of the company here that I introduced myself with, I noticed that they did ship off their power jack repairs.
Right.
So I told them that I do power jack repairs, and I also told them that I'm not out over here to undercut you or anything else. You know, I mean, granted, I'm running my business also, but you know, and of course you're going to get, you know, strange looks or whatever. But I just let them know I'm here, man. I'm here, and you know. They told me that they would consider, you know, sending power jack repairs my way. There's another guy here that does television repairs and who does computer repairs also, but he's big on TV repairs.
Right.
I walked right in there and introduced myself, told him who I was, gave him my business card. And, you know, he was a little apprehensive at first, but he did say that he could do some things to computers, but, you know, the virus stuff and all that, he's not really all that great at. That he made sense in business my way.
Very interesting.
And then there was a couple of more of them that, you know, didn't really, you know, just went up in arms and couldn't get rid of me fast enough. But, you know, hey, they know I'm here.
What did they do? What did they do?
You know, just got a defensive, you know, like I'm there. They just kind of got paranoid. Like I came and introduced myself, gave them my card. Then they're like, well, you don't have to worry about anything here. We've got everything under control. I've got a, I'm an electronic engineer, blah, blah, blah. He started just blurting off all this stuff. I didn't ask for none of that information, you know. I just came in and introduced myself and told him who I was and where I was located. You know, he just got all defensive, like I was there to take his business, you know. And I was like, okay, you know.
it's not a terribly wrong reaction from these guys.
No, I can understand where they're coming from. But that's just how I operate.
What are you hoping to achieve by going around to all these places?
Maybe sharing information. Maybe every tech from time to time could use, you know, a helping hand, or, you know, you don't want to have to hire somebody, but, you know, just you just never know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get swamped, you got a lot of stuff going on, or there's something that. I'll give you an example. Somebody called me and wanted to know if I did, credit card reader repairs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, no, But I tell you what, I tell you who I think I might know who does, and I gave him the information to this other guy at Millennium Electronics, and I said, tell him that that Tim's Computer Repair sent you. And so, you know, there you go. There's one reason right there. I sent him a little bit of business. Now, you know, in the future, he may send me some.
Wow, this is an interesting concept, Tim. So this is very interesting.
I mean, what's it going to hurt? It's not like it's hurt my business any, you know?
I just picture you walking into my shop and saying, telling me you're a competitor and giving me your card.
Yep.
And asking if I need anything. Now, my gut reaction is
I don't ask you if you need anything. I didn't ask that.
Okay.
I'm very careful in how I approach. I just tell them that I'm pretty much let them know that I'm in the area, and let them know, you know, some of the things that I do, and I just want to stop in and say hi. I just pretty much keep it simple like that. I'm not trying to scrounge up business from them or anything.
First thing that would pop into my mind if you came in and said that to me was, I know I'm making this much money per week, and you can potentially hurt that. You can potentially lessen that for me.
Yeah.
And that would be my first gut reaction. You know, when I calm down, I might think of other, I might calm down and be like, you know what? Okay, as long as this, my business is still good, at least I know he's down there, down the street or whatever, and I would probably consider asking you for things. We might become friends after a while, but you're going to get that instinct. That's just like hurting somebody. That's the first instinct you're going to get is people's survival being endangered.
Hey, 95% of them I expected, you know, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You know, thing. But they know I'm here.
Yeah.
And they know I'm friendly. And
that's okay. You know, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, that's great.
That's my business approach in my area. And I got to, you know.
Has it paid off so far?
Well, I've just done it recently, so
okay.
Wow. I'm just trying it, you know. And
hey, I'm a firm believer that more communication is better than less.
There's business expos here, Steve, too. Like, there's a place where business people get together in certain trades, and they actually have like breakfast together, and they discuss, you know, they discuss their business and they discuss what's going on. And
yeah, but they're all different trades, right? Or are they the same trade?
Well, they do the same trades.
Oh.
I mean, just they kind of rotate around. I just noticed this. I was kind of checking up on some things in my area. So, you know, I'm just trying to rub elbows, you know, and kind of get to know my competition a little bit and let them know that I'm out there to cut their throat. And you know, maybe one day, you know, that'll benefit me in the future.
No.
Because I'm not worried about their competition. I know they're going to do everything they can to get their business. I'm going to do everything I can to get mine. They don't threaten me. They exist. I'm not scared to walk in there and.
Yeah, but they were there first. You're new on the scene.
Well, you could call it that. I mean, I've been around for 3 years. I never really walked in and met them personally.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess, were they there before you?
Yes, actually.
Okay, let me ask you this then. I don't want to dwell on this topic, but let me ask you this. What if a shop opened down the street?
Mm-hmm.
Would you walk in there and introduce yourself, or what would you do?
I'm not sure. Actually, I pinpointed established businesses. That's
okay.
But
gotcha.
I'm not sure. I mean, I wouldn't feel threatened really.
Okay.
If he came into my shop, I just wouldn't feel threatened. I mean, it's a dog eat dog world out there, you know.
Yeah, maybe you should feel a little.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, of course. In the back of my mind, I'm going, man, you know, he's in my area. He's going, but.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm not going to do just, he's my enemy now.
No, yeah, right. I wouldn't make him your enemy. But you're going to get with that reaction that you thought you were going to get, I think is normal to expect, but it's probably, he probably got pretty surprised with some of the guys you went in to see, didn't you, that they didn't want to throw you out.
I bet. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Neat. That's
just how I operate, man. I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. That's
next month. I might call you back and say, forget it.
Okay.
Don't ever try that.
This is why you have to continue listening to Podnuts Daily, everybody, to see how the results are.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
I don't know about everybody else, but one thing I like Microsoft Security Essentials. I really do.
Yeah.
And in real world experiences, I'm kind of careless on some of my other computers. I've got like four in my house here, and I'm careless at times, And I have had Microsoft Security Essentials protect me pop up. And I mean, I'm not like surfing porn or nothing. I'm just doing basic research, really. Mm-hmm. And I end up coming across, you know, sites that are compromised.
That's what everybody calls it, Timster, research.
We right, know research. Yeah, research.
Just kidding.
Thank you. I'm glad you know what I'm talking about. All right. One thing I do notice about Security Essentials is, and I'm pretty sure this is a setting that you can disable, but I usually don't. I mean, every time I download a file, and this is on all my computers that I have it on, every time I download a file, it seems to take extra long for it to auto-scan that file. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that with Security Essentials. You'll download a file from a site, and you got to kind of sit there and wait several seconds, even though it's a small file, for the auto-scan on Security Essentials to scan. It's just something I was noticing and just threw it out there. I'd like some feedback on that if that's happening to anybody else.
Okay. I've been using Mac heavily lately, so I don't have the experience with it, but let's see what let's see what the people say.
Mac heavily. Mac. Okay.
Heavily Mac.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your laptop repair videos.
Yes.
At laptoprepairvideos.com.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, those are in HD, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, those are just the most amazing laptop repair videos anybody can purchase on the net today. And it's the most detailed, gives you visuals of every aspect of taking apart a laptop.
Are you just saying this?
Do you mean I'm segueing. Okay. Work with me, Steve. Work with me.
I want to know if you mean it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. I mean, who doesn't know that?
Okay.
Now, the videos, if I'm not mistaken, I've even heard you say it, Steve, they're not going to show you every make and model of every laptop.
Right.
But they'll give you the basics of taking apart any laptop. Once you see the videos, you will pretty much be able to take apart any laptop. It's pretty, it'll give you a pretty general description of how to do that once you're done viewing these videos.
That was actually the goal. Like, of course, I couldn't include every laptop, but with the case study videos, I just wanted people to just watch them all. And if you watch them all, you'll be able to fix anything. That was my goal. Go ahead.
Exactly. Now, there's still plenty of techs out there who are a little reluctant or shaky or new to tearing down laptops, even
right.
with the videos.
Right.
I would recommend the videos first.
Right.
Now, there are sites where you can get service manuals for laptops. It'll kind of give you a step-by-step kind of diagram of how to take apart your particular make and model of laptop.
Right.
So, along with your laptop repair videos.
Yeah.
You can also download a service manual that'll kind of give you step-by-step, skeleton instructions on the certain order in which you should take that laptop apart.
Right.
So I just want to share a few links of some really good sites that have a lot of service repair manuals.
Sure.
One is repairforlaptop.org. That's REPAR. The number 4, laptop.org/notebook.html.
Repairforlaptop.org. Okay. Gotcha.
And there's another one. That's a really good one. And there's another one called eServiceInfo, eServiceInfo.com.
Okay.
There's another good one that has lots to choose from, lots of make and models. Now, you're not going to find every make and model on one site. You're going to have to look through, all of these sites on some just to right. find your make and model you're searching for.
Are they free? Is everything free on these sites?
They're free.
Okay,
they are free. They're absolutely free. Yep.
Gotcha.
When you go to these sites, you just type in your make and model and... if they have it, they have it. If they don't, you go to the next site. Here's one that I really like. This site has service manuals of all types. It boasts having 5,770,000 service manuals.
Wow. So
that's what they say. The site is dthe-manuals.com.
Manuals.
And this isn't just good for laptops. This is good for, like, if your washing machine breaks down. This is good for, you know, if you're trying to repair video cameras or just a whole gamut of things. And you just type in make and model of whatever you're looking for, and with its 5 million manuals, it boasts you should be able to find something that will help you there.
Wow. Okay.
And they're totally free.
Hmm. Is it just a search engine? Or is there actually, or do they actually host some, it looks like a search engine. Do they actually host service manuals on their site?
Is it an aggregator? I mean, I use it a lot. Let's see. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm not sure. I can't really tell.
No. It is. Yeah, they have a bunch. It's kind of terrible how they got it set up. But yeah, you could download individual files off that site.
Okay. All right, good.
Yep. Sure can.
Sweet.
Yep. And let's see. Oh, Dell supports service manuals. You can go to Dell support site at their service manual support /service manuals, and you can get step-by-step teardowns off of all of Dell laptops. And Lenovo does the same thing on Lenovo's support site.
Good.
So I kind of like that about Dell. They a lot of those computer companies don't want you to take the screws out of your laptop.
Right.
So kudos to Dell on that.
Kudos to Dell. Lenovo, yeah, the people I have heard about them. I didn't know Dell did it, actually.
Yeah, Dell's really good about that.
Good.
Yeah. And, oh, I found this really neat site on laptop screens. And, of course, eBay is the place to go for the best bargains we all know about.
You mean podnuts.com/eBay?
Podnuts.com/eBay. Right. Yeah, sorry about that. DVD Super 999 is really great for screens. We know that.
Yeah.
But there's a site that here that has any kind of screen, even you know those hand crank netbooks that they were selling. They're called Quanta netbooks. They were given out to tons of third world countries and all, and they got a hand crank on them. And I mean, they even have screens for those. Motion computing screens that use styluses. The name of the site is Screen Tech Inc. ScreenTechInc.com.
Screen Tech Inc. Okay.
This site has every darn possible brand of screen. I mean,
ScreenTechInc.com?
Yeah. Okay. Screen Tech. It's ScreenTechInc.
Oh, TEK. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. .com.
All right. We check it out here.
And if you look on the left bar under where it says search by laptop model.
Yeah.
Go down to the bottom of that and say view all laptop model brands and take a look at that list.
Wow. You know, I think I've actually ordered from these guys. Are they US based? Where are they?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, there are some brands of laptops here I've never heard of. I have absolutely not heard of matter of fact, many of these.
Right.
So.
Wow. Quite a library. Wow. This is great. Their prices aren't good.
No, the prices are. That's the only thing. That's why I said, you know, eBay is the place.
Right. This might be a good place to find the model number of the screen.
Hey, good idea, man. I never thought of that.
Actually, wow. No, it doesn't say the model number of the screen.
It doesn't.
Yeah. Darn. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I never thought of that. But, yeah, I, on many of them, I noticed they were free shipping.
Right.
And on other ones, I was noticing $15 to $25 shipping fee.
Hmm. I wonder why.
But, I mean, if you're in a bind and you have this very, you know, unheard of or strange laptop you've never seen before and you need a screen for it, man, that's the place to go.
Good. Yeah, like freaking Panasonic Tough Books used to drive me nuts. Let's see if they have them in there.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Oh, lucky you. Yeah, there they are. Oh, wow. Wow, this would have been... Wow, they're expensive. That's probably why I didn't use them. They are expensive. I have to give them that. But, hey, if you need the screen, you need the screen, right?
Exactly. That's my point. If you're in a bind, there you go.
And it has the pretty little girl with live support with the headset on.
Ah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, she's actually the one that answers all calls, by the way.
I thought so. Sometimes I call there just to hear her answer.
That's great. Okay. That's good sight. That's a good sight.
I really hate to talk about Apple, man. What's up with the iPhone? You know, I'm kind of upset with that.
Do you have an iPhone?
Not to go off on a tangent.
Do you have an iPhone?
No.
Why are you upset with it?
Well, because that's what people were complaining about the first iPhone and 3G, and they were, you know, it was the phone, the drop calls and the service, and
yeah.
You know, and you would think that on this new iPhone 4 that would be the very first thing they concentrate on. I mean, it's a phone. It should do that better than anything else first, before, above and beyond anything else. I think it's epic fail. I'm very disappointed with Apple. I mean, I was really kind of impressed with their phone, with their, with the hardware, actually, their phone hardware, but I just can't believe that they dropped the ball on the phone service.
Does it only happen with left-handed people?
The way I see it is if you're holding it and you bridge the two antennas that are wrapped around it, I mean, it's going to happen.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it really shouldn't happen. So Apple, here's what I think. Sorry.
Sad trombone. Yeah, they epic fail. Totally. I agree with you.
Okay. Wow. You agree. Great.
I've been run into apathy on this subject.
Okay.
No, I do agree, but here's the thing about Apple, and you could be disappointed about them. Like I said, on Nuts at Night, they got about three epic fails in them before they have to worry about anything. They could do this a couple times.
Yeah.
Their fans are so hardcore that it's not going to matter if they fail unless they keep doing it. Because that's just the way they're positioned right now. So I agree it's a fail. I agree.
Well, in my opinion, is strike two.
What was strike one?
The first 3G iPhone, the AT&T. Well, they say it's AT&T, but is it really? Was it really AT&T? I mean,
you mean the dropped calls?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll never know if that was AT&T or not.
If I was an iPhone owner, the first one, and I could, you know, and I was like, finally, the new iPhone's coming out. It's got to be better on phone, you know, service. It's got to be.
Right.
Because that was the worst problem with the original one. And boy.
I don't know. My brother's still using a 1G iPhone. He never complains about dropped calls. See, I think a lot of feedback is from San Francisco because that's where all the tech mouths are.
Interesting.
And, other places, AT&T is not horrible.
Well, I know two people in my family that had to actually get rid of their iPhone because of the service. They just couldn't use it as a phone.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay. Interesting. Interesting.
We'll see where it goes. I mean, maybe the case they're doing.
We'll see.
Yeah.
The case you have to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they shouldn't make you have to buy that.
I know.
All right.
I agree with you. What else you got?
Let me give you a quick rundown, I guess, a real quick rundown of kind of the basics of what I do whenever I get a computer that needs to be cleaned up.
Okay.
The viruses, real quick. So when I get a computer in my shop that needs a virus removal, our first thing I check is the hard drive. I want to be sure that hard drive, well, first I check for caps, blown caps on the motherboard. That should be the first step of any tech, in my opinion, is check for blown caps. And then, of course, clean the computer, blow it out, leaf blower, the full gamut of that. But the first thing I want to check is the hard drive. I want to make sure that the hard drive is okay. I don't want to lose customers' data. That's the first important thing, in my opinion, protecting their data. That's the last thing I want to do is lose their data on my bench. I don't want to have to make that phone call. So I start off with a tool called Disk Part. It's from do-it-yourself, data recovery, I think it's .com or whatever. I think, Steve, you poo-pooed on it a little bit, but it's what I use to judge hard drives' health. And it's a DOS program. It runs off of a floppy drive that I use as a floppy USB connector, and it boots right up very quickly, and it gives me a quick diagnosis of the status of the hard drive. I'll start off with that.
Do you have to use a floppy to start it?
No, you don't. But the reason why I use a floppy, you can use a USB also, but the reason why I use a, well, you can use a USB. I just happen to have a, I like using the floppy. It's just, it's there. I plug it in, I pop it in, you go. And, you know, it also gives me logs, log files that I can go back and view the log files, like all the smart information, and gives me tons of other information about the hard drive in a log file. Okay. But on the screen, it'll give me a general status of how the hard drive is, from 0%, which is bad, to 100%, which is excellent.
It's called Disk Part.
I was reading their site. It's quite an algorithm they use to determine that. It's not just smart that they use. It's tons of other things, you know, bad sectors, what have you. It factors in everything about the drive and gives you a kind of a summary of what's going on. And I guess CTools kind of does that similarly, but I think it's more advanced. It's much more advanced than CTools.
Okay. What is the website for it, Timster? Or is it a Microsoft?
I'm not having it in front of me here. It's DIY Data Recovery. I think it's .com. It's a real bare looking site. It looks old, and it's not free. It's not free. I paid for the application, but I love it. It's my
Disk Patch.
Disk Patch. That's it. Disk Patch. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it.
Is that it? Disk Patch. That's the right one, right?
Disk Patch. I said Disk Part. Sorry,
okay. Okay. I'm
looking at my whiteboard.
No, that's okay. Disk Patch. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You did talk about this before.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my secret weapon. I love it. So.
How much does it cost?
I can't remember. I think it's like $30.
That's not bad. Hey, anything that runs from a floppy is okay in my book.
Okay.
No, I'm just being sarcastic.
Right.
What's a floppy, by the way? I'm just kidding. All right. You're the first person I know that you has used this, and
it's quick. I mean, within 10 seconds, you got a status on your hard drive.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty cool, actually.
Very dependable program. and I just don't use one. I just don't use that. I'll use like MHDD to be sure, you know, right. Everything. So I'll try that. And okay. Then we'll go into things like the UC cleaner to clean up the junk that's on it. Then, I'll back up the registry. That's always important. I don't think a lot of techs do that. I mean, I just do that to do it.
Do you do it in C cleaner?
No.
Okay.
No. I go into the registry myself and back it up from there.
Gotcha.
Reg edit. Well, you know, some of the options in there, you'll be able to back it up.
Okay.
Now, you know, if the hard drive checks out okay, I'll just back up the registry. If the hard drive is kind of iffy and I get that's whenever I get kind of the bad feeling, and I'll go ahead and I will back up the data, clone it, or, you know, however. Whatever feeling I get from the customer, whether, you know, their information is super important or they don't care about it, you know,
right.
I'll either clone it if it's really important stuff on there, and I feel like I may lose, you know, something, or the hard drive might die, or I will just back up the documents folder, pictures folder, or whatever they told me was important to them. But at any rate, that's kind of your call, you know, at the beginning. Then, you know, you can do things like Pure Raw, which is really good to use for cleanup. And then we go in with the Super Anti Spyware, Malwarebytes, Trojan Remover, and then I'll throw in with Malicious Removal Tool. If I'm getting DNS redirects in the browser,
you're right.
Almost nowadays, that's the TDSS rootkit. You can run Hitman Pro on that. It's really quick. And that will most of the time take care of any TDSS rootkits.
Hitman Pro. Cool. That's becoming a pretty superstar program these days, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, it uses a gamut of different engines, from what I understand, but it's super fast. It's an online scanner, and it's super fast. I was really impressed with how fast it was, and it works. And I've been hearing it on the forums and all, it's working for people in there also. So, if there are other things on the machine that viruses have affected that, you know, registry keys or, funny things that sometimes happen when you remove viruses off of a computer that happens to Windows.
Right.
There's a really good tool called Virus Effect Remover, which basically it does what it says. It checks for all of the registry entries and everything. It looks for any bad entries. Sort of like what do you call that program that it kind of fixes Windows after you remove viruses. And it works real good with Vista and Windows 7.
Virus Effect Remover. It's got a good name.
Virus Effect Remover. Yep. It's something good to try if you remove viruses off your computer and something goes kind of haywire with Windows.
Okay.
So something I'll throw out there.
Huh. That's a good new one. Free? Yep. Free program?
Free program, yes.
Sweet.
The old faithful tools for XP are really good to use. Spitfrog Fix, Combo Fix, Dial-A-Fix. If you're having network problems in Windows XP, trying WinSock XP Fix is really good. And then you have the in-Windows hard drive tools, that you benchmark your hard drive, you know, look at the status and all that, which is HD Tune, Crystal Disk Info is really good. And so then what I do when I finish cleaning up the computer, I will run Process Explorer from Microsoft just to kind of double check and get an idea of looking for any processes that may still be running that don't look right.
Right.
I'll just glance at that one good time before I call it clean, because I want to be sure nothing's hiding from me.
Good idea. And you could also check like CPU usage and stuff from there, can't you?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, okay. You know, just about any process that's running that it's not labeled, that's blank, I mean, you can pretty much bet is not a good thing.
Huh.
You can get just...
Can you go wrong with deleting them? I mean, if there's a blank entry?
That's why I have the backup registry. Right. I'll back up the registry. But no, I mean, usually, I mean, you could Google every process that's running, you know, if you're not sure.
Right.
But the ones that are kind of blank, I mean, you could surely 99.9% of the time deleting those is not going to hurt your system. And if anything, most viruses when they're on your system running as a process are never labeled. They're never identified. So that's a dead giveaway.
It's a good tip.
You want to? Show notes person who is it? Data Mike? He's gonna love me on. He's gonna love me on this one. Toolbars. If there's any toolbars in the Internet Explorer or Firefox, get rid of them. You don't want toolbars.
Yeah. Unless you do.
Well, you don't. What good are toolbars? Really? Tell me.
I don't know. Google Toolbar had some useful stuff at one point.
Yeah. It's just something to slow your browser down to me.
I don't use them. I don't like them, but.
Yeah. No. I say no.
Say no to toolbars.
Yes. You want to make sure the Windows updates are set for automatic. You want to be sure of that. You want to be sure they have a good virus protection, which, you know, Security Essentials is my way. I do it. Security Essentials. MS Config, of course, to keep any processes from starting up that are not needed.
Right.
That'll help, you know, speed up the booting process.
That's a great tool. I used to love just going in MS Config and just turning stuff off.
Exactly. Oh man, it that alone can just really speed up a machine
big time.
Fast, yeah.
And like then MS Config on steroids is Auto Runs, I think is the name of it. I've actually never used it once or twice, Matt, maybe.
Oh yeah, Auto Runs, you're right.
Another SysInternals program turned Microsoft program.
Yeah. A very good tool. Good point. Yep. You wanted to, this is my opinion. You may not like this, Steve. I disable system restore.
Okay.
Viruses do like to jump into system restore and then restore points. What you don't want to happen is you clean this computer up. You do all this tweaking. You give it back to them. 3 days later, they have a problem, and then they decide themselves to go back in time and use system restore. And they end up going back before the day before you fixed it, and everything's reinfected again.
Why don't you just delete all the restore points?
That's what I said. Disable system restore. That'll wipe your whole restore archive, and then you enable it again.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't say that.
Well, you didn't let me get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, and just one real quick check to be sure that the Windows firewall is active. And also, I said this before, I've noticed that viruses turn on file sharing, sharing folders, almost every time. So check make sure your folders aren't being shared.
Hmm. Good one.
Yeah. So, then I'll drop a TCR folder. That's short for Tim's Computer Repair. I'll drop a TCR folder on their desktop. It has a README in there that says, do not delete this folder. And I'll have CrossLoop in there and maybe one or two other tools that I can access, in case they get home and the printer don't work, or I need to remote into the computer. You want to drop a company file on the desktop or somewhere and make the customer aware of it, not to delete it. And that'll save a lot of headaches.
Man, that's a really good idea. Yeah. I should have done that. That's a great idea. Do not delete, have it just sitting up there whenever you need to remote in, a couple clicks from the customer. You don't have to get them to install Log Me In by downloading or anything. That's a great idea.
Right.
I like it.
But that's pretty much it. I mean, that's pretty much my game that I run through. That's just cleaning up the computer.
That's great stuff. I love to hear I love to hear updates on cleaning regimens, it's constantly changing. There's new tools coming out, and everybody does theirs a little different. So it's great hearing these every once in a while.
I'll start running Hitman Pro just for the heck of it because it's just so fast. I mean, even if I'm not getting DNS redirect on my browser, I'll just run Hit. I mean, just because it's so fast, and it's a rootkit. Rootkit's high. Just run it.
It's a hitmanpro.nl. Is that right?
I'm sorry, Steve. I don't have that link in front of me.
Okay. No, I never went to the website. I'm just trying to check it out now.
Google will help you out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to try that one actually. Maybe I'll get infected and try that.
The biggest surprise to me was how fast it was.
Yeah, because it runs multiple scans, right?
It uses multiple engines, virus engines.
I guess it does a quick scan.
It certainly does. And I don't know whether it's just geared towards the TDSS rootkit. I think that may be what it is.
Okay.
Maybe not just that rootkit, but other rootkits.
Right.
Anyway.
Neat.
Okay.
All right. Well, you drug us along. Now, you've mentioned this on the last week's show in the chat room or somewhere. I can't remember. It was an emergency. I got to do an episode of Podnuts Daily. I have to tell you about this. Okay. What happened?
It's no emergency. when you hear the story, I thought it was an emergency. I'll tell you that. But I have this customer. And I tell you, I know this customer. I'm going to say her name. Her name is Camille.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's okay with me talking about this because, at the end you'll see. But let me just tell you how this customer, how the relationship between me and this customer started off. Got a call, and she. It was a girl named Camille, and she was telling me that she was having random black screens on her computer.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. She goes, do you know what that might be? And I says, oh, well, you know, that could be a number of things. You know, I would have to put it on my bench. And this girl, she just starts breathing real heavy, and she goes, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just not any good with stuff like this. And I was like, well, you know, it'll be okay. Just bring it into me, and you know, we'll get to the bottom of what's going on. And then she starts breathing so heavy that she can't hardly talk. And then she starts saying things like, oh my God, I'm shaking. And I'm like, excuse me. And she was like, please, I've got to get this computer fixed. I'm just no good with stuff like this. I'm like, okay, just calm down, and you know, we'll get it fixed. No problem. Like, what in the world's going on?
Right.
So, you know, she's just goes on and on, and just like kind of gets worse. And she's during this conversation, Steve, she admits to me that she is on medication for heavy anxiety attacks and schizophrenia.
Oh man.
And I was like, okay. I was like, why would I answer the phone?
Right.
And but she was just, you know, just like breaking down over, you know, a computer that just started giving her black screens, and she was just a nervous wreck. So I'm trying to calm her down, and I says, look, you know, let's just get it into my shop. She goes, okay, well, it doesn't do it all the time. And, you know, thank you so much or whatever. She got off the phone, and 2 days went by. I didn't hear anything. So I was like, well, cool. Then everything's okay. Thank God, you know?
Right, right.
Well, 2 days later, she calls and leaves a voicemail on my phone. And now the computer is what, in her words, is dead. And if you could hear her voice and how she was, you would think that she wasn't far behind. She was just absolutely just breaking down.
Right.
So I'm like, oh God, what am I going to do? You know, so I call her back, and I go through the whole process of calming her down, you know, kind of babying her a little bit. And, you know, I just didn't want to leave her hanging.
Right.
Because I would feel bad if I saw her on the news the next day or something. But she tells me she wants to bring it in. I says, you know, you can bring it in, or I could come to you. And she says, yeah. So what she wanted to do was bring it in. What she wanted to do was bring it in and sit down and sit here and watch me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, no, you know, more than likely, if you bring it in, you're going to have to just leave it with me. Oh my God. No, she goes, you're going to have to just come and get it. I can't handle this. Oh, she's just freaking out, man.
Wow.
Okay, well, where do you live? She lives kind of close, so, you know, I told her I'll come pick it up. I'll get the address, pop it into my GPS. Let's see. I tell her the next day I'm going to come pick it up after 4 o'clock. She says okay. That was that evening. Okay, the next morning comes, and at 7:30 a.m. she's calling my phone. Now, we agreed on after 4, but right. At 7:30 a.m. my phone's ringing.
Right.
So I answered, and she goes, I was just wondering when you're going to come pick up my computer.
Get out of here.
And I was like, Camille, we talked about after 4, okay? Is that, here she goes again. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, man. You're a good guy, because at this point, I would have just not dealt with this customer anymore.
Dude,
but go ahead.
I mean,
It's 7:30 in the morning would have been the stop sign for me.
Well, I can tell you right now, I wasn't happy. She knew I wasn't happy.
Okay. Well, that's why she started breathing heavy again.
Yeah. On top of all this, she was doing, she was also being very nice. She's being very nice.
Right.
So, you know, okay. Well, anyways, after 4, I go over there. I pop in the GPS. I go over there. She lives in an apartment complex. So I'm trying to find her number, right? And it's like a 3-story complex. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around. I'm going up these different corridors. I'm trying to find 32A or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going up a flight of stairs. And look, no, that's not it. I go up another flight. And while I'm going up that flight, I see a girl sitting outside her front door, sitting down on the ground with her head between her knees. And and her, you know, her elbows up, her hand over her head, just holding a cigarette. And when I get up there, she's got two big ashtrays on either side of the door full of cigarettes. And I says, this has got to be her. This has got to be her. And, you know, she looked up, she saw my uniform. Oh, you know, it's you. And yeah, it's me. So, okay, you know, let's get this over with, you know, let me take it. I fill out the paperwork, you know, and she spends 30 minutes holding me up, talking about what might be wrong with the computer.
Right.
And then looking at the computer, I was like, where'd you get this? She goes, oh, my husband brought that back from Korea. I said, oh my God, in my head, I'm thinking, married? Oh, Jesus. But at any rate, it was kind of an odd computer. I've never seen.
Where was their husband this whole time?
I don't know. I think he's deployed.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, okay. I get through that. I notify her that I'll call her later that evening with the progress report, you know, because I know more than likely she's probably going to call me anyway.
Right.
You know, so I'll just calm her down.
I can't believe she let you take it.
Yeah, I know. Well, she did. And, Okay. I just said, I'll call you back later on this evening. I'll let you know. Okay. Well, I get home. I haven't even put the computer on the bench. 1 hour later, she's calling me, wondering how I'm doing. I'm like, oh God. I was like, Oh, and she also said that, she also decided to inform me during that phone call that when I was up there at the apartment, that she was heavily medicated. So that's why she was able to deal with me and let the computer go, you know, and not like, have an attack.
Wow.
Like, well, good. I'm glad you told me that. Thank you very much. I was like, so, you know, when I put this computer on my bench, I'm like, I've never seen a case like this. When I open it up, it's actually got the inside is designed like a case I've never seen before.
Okay.
And the power supply is sitting sideways in it.
Huh.
And I could not find a motherboard maker on the motherboard. I could not find a company name on it.
What was it doing? Nothing when you hit the power?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
You know, the first thing, what I'm thinking right now, when this thing is my bench, I'm going, please, just God, please do not make me have to call her and let her know that she's got a dead motherboard. You know, I just don't want to give her any kind of news. You know, who knows what she might do, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I'm really
and
wondering
don't use
why
the word. I wouldn't use the word dead either.
I'm really, you know, like you said, wondering why I even took the job.
Yeah, yeah.
But it even gets worse because it's an odd motherboard. I couldn't find, I mean, I didn't really go take a stuff out of it to look for a name until the hard drive was behind the power. I would have to remove the whole power supply and cables just to get to the hard drive. The hard drive was tucked way back. It's really strange.
Did you even try powering it on yet at all here or there?
Okay. What I did was I took it out and I wanted to clean it out. It's very dusty, extremely dusty.
Right.
And the had a dedicated video card and it had a heat sink on that, you know, on the video card with a fan, dedicated video card.
Right.
And then it had a spot cooling fan, a slot spot cool fan under that. It was kind of trying to cool that off. Well, I took the spot cool off. It was completely caked and froze up. The fan for the video card, it was completely caked and froze up.
Okay.
So I said, well, this is probably major power issues anyway. So I spent a good bit of time cleaning back, sucking all the stuff out, blowing it out, getting the dust bunnies out, getting all the fans freed up, and finally got around to powering it up. And when I powered it up, it booted right up, and it went into Windows. Oh, here's another thing, too. I don't know who built this computer, but it had Windows XP on it. There was no COA sticker. There was no activation key anywhere on the machine.
Right.
Nowhere. So I'm sitting there going, man, I hope I don't have to like reinstall Windows on this thing.
Right.
Because there's no key. There's no key nowhere to be found.
Right.
Ah, man. So I found this really cool tool, which made me breathe a little better. It's called Produkey. Produkey.
Okay.
And you run that, and what that'll do is go in and pull up the hash and interpret it into the correct product key for the version of Windows that's installed on the machine.
Awesome.
So that was a little bit of a safety net for me. I breathed a little better after that. But,
okay.
Let's see. Yeah, three of the case fans were caught clogged up. They were so bad that they failed, case fans. So she had a massive overheating problem.
Right.
So the computer was booting okay. I found viruses on it. I cleaned it up. The next day, while I was running my scans, once again at 7 a.m., she called me. I didn't answer this time. Right. I said, I'm not going to answer her. She knows. I told her it'd be a couple days. Well, Steve, every 10 minutes on the dot after that, she called me.
Wow.
Every 10 minutes. So when I think after the fifth time, I picked up the phone and I says, is that you calling me? Yes, I'm so sorry. I just got to... Man, I got to get rid of this customer. I got to get rid of her.
Yeah.
You know, so at any rate, things went pretty good, I guess. Now, from what I could tell, I put it through my gamut of cleaning software and everything.
Right.
And everything worked good. Thank God it worked well. But, right.
You weren't getting black screens, were you?
Wasn't getting black screens. No, everything. I'm 100% positive that her video card was just overheating.
Right.
Or something in the computer was overheating because it was really bad. But my whole thing is I just wanted to come over, pick this, because I'm not going to her. I already said that she's coming to me. And I wanted to get this computer. I want her to pay me my money that I'm charging her and take it home. And I don't want to ever hear from her again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just so I told her it's fixed. Come on over. She paid me and then she went home. So after that, you know, I'm like, good. Please. So
please is the word, because it's unlikely you're not going to hear from her again.
So I'm like, man, good. The next day around lunchtime, my phone rings. And by this time I got her name logged in my phone because I want to know when she's calling me. And, there she is. She calls. I'm like, oh, no, please. Well, anyways, play the voicemail.
Okay.
This voicemail you're about to play is the voicemail that I received on my phone during that call.
Okay, I'm going to play it now.
Okay.
Hey, Tim. I just wanted to call you and tell you that my computer has never ran better, and I wanted to thank you. Also, yet another friend has actually asked about you, so she might be calling you in the next week or so. She sent hers to a moron who's only fixing a flickering screen. They wanted to charge her up the ass for it. So she might be sending her computer over to you just to make sure he actually, one, did what he was supposed to do, because she doesn't trust him that much, and two, to make sure there's no other problems, whatever caused it originally, if there's any root problems to the computer. Anyway, thank you so much. You are a lifesaver. I would hug you if I could. Okay, bye.
Wow, you really lucked out on this one.
Dude, do you know how much I went?
If there was a meter measuring the relief coming off of you at that point, I can imagine it wouldn't be pinned.
Wow. Oh, I mean, it was just that could have went just so wrong. That could have went so far south with, you know, everything that was presented. You know that.
How long ago was this? Are you out of the woods yet?
I'm out of the woods. Yeah, this was a month ago.
Oh, okay. Whew. Wow. Well done,
sir. And let me tell you something.
Well done. Yeah.
The demeanor of her voice during that voicemail was nothing like all of the previous conversations with her. Nothing. I mean, she was a complete wreck.
Oh, man. You know, this is the problem with medication like that.
And it was almost like, if I couldn't fix her computer, it was going to be the end of her world.
Right. I bet you she really felt like that when she was drugged up. When she was drugged up. That's a shame. I mean, it's a shame. It's fantastic. You got to hear her real voice, like probably when she was her real self.
Yeah.
So
it's just a story I wanted to share. You know, everybody has those customers. You know, and most of the time, you know, we don't want those kind of customers a lot. But
yes.
you know, this one turned out good, and I got paid. I got my money. And, oh, let me tell you something. She threw a tip at me. She threw more money at me than what I charged her. So
really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yep. She, like, threw me, like, 20% more, and I was like, wow.
You know. That's a job well done. Good job, Tim. Seriously.
Yeah.
Now, I have a policy. I've talked about this before. I keep crazy people off of my lines. I just do, because it's not worth it to me. You know, maybe if you feel really strongly about it, you can do it, and you want to be the humanitarian of the year, you can do it. But when you're running a business,
yeah.
You don't want to have these people in your shop, on your lines, calling you, this type of thing. It will magically make everybody go away. Everybody else not call you. It's amazing. I've witnessed it.
I think the key, Steven, where I messed up is just to nip it in the butt early.
Yeah.
Once the red flag goes up, cut your ties.
Exactly. But you know, I didn't hear the conversations you had with her. She could have like sneakily kind of got into your lines, and then it was too late. You had to fix it. You had to do it. And that happens, you know. It's gradual. But when I sense somebody's nuts, I just draw the line. I say sorry, I can't help you.
At least she admitted to me. I mean, straight up off the bat,
right?
She was a schizophrenic and you know has bad anxiety attacks. So right then and there, I had a choice, you know.
Right.
But next time though, I mean, I don't think I'll take it. I really don't.
Yeah, if you could do it over again, what would you do?
I don't think I will, because there's just too many things that could go wrong.
Right.
You know, who knows how this girl would react if the motherboard was dead.
Right.
I don't know.
Wow. Good job. Good story.
All right, man.
We finally got to hear it. This show is actually not being recorded live, so I'm the only one who has heard the story so far. But yeah. That was good. Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
All right. Do you have anything else you wanted to do before we end off?
No, that's it, Steve.
Yeah, for this show, I'm not going to read any emails or voicemails, because this is like we're injecting this show in between the normal schedule. So this is like a freebie show for you guys. It's bonus material.
Cool.
So we'll do the voicemails and emails next show, which is going to be on Monday. And that's going to be with Matt, who did a great show with us a couple weeks ago about small business. He's a small business guy. So dealing with enterprise software as opposed to residential, it's a nice nice thing to hear sometimes. So we're going to get some more info about that on Monday.
Awesome.
Tim, thank you very much for doing the show. Again, I truly appreciate it for doing this and everything you're doing for PodNuts.
Hey, man. It's my pleasure. I have a lot of fun doing it. Want to encourage other techs to sign up for PodNuts Daily. It's a blast. And really, you make it easy and you make it fun, Steve, for anybody. So don't be nervous about it. Come on, sign up for PodNuts Daily.
Thank you, Timster. I appreciate that. And he's right. If you want to sign up and be on PodNuts Daily, anybody can sign up. You just go to podnuts.com/guests. It's really that easy. So I hope to see people sign up for that. We have a lot of July slots open. So Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when we do that show. So if you could jump in there. And say you really want to be on PodNuts Daily, but you can't do those times, just send me an email. And if we can work it out, we'll work out a different time for you. I'm not opposed to doing that. I'm actually open to it. So, okay, cool. That's going to be it for today's episode of PodNuts Daily. See you next time.
Bye.
Music for PodNuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.